Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Joel, I'm Jeremy, and it's The Killer Bees, a Wednesday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. What's the right way to phrase this? Are the Texans the gift that keeps on giving? Gift feels like too nice, though, right?
But it's the holiday.
That's a good point.
Right?
It is the holiday.
Season of giving, so just keep on giving until it hurts, and maybe after it hurts, like it should have already, maybe you just say, can I have another?
Like, if it's between whether the Texans are deciding on who their starting quarterback is, what they're going to do for the future, what Caserio is doing each and every day, David Culley chewing on his lips, the Houston Texans.
Tongue.
Yeah, nice tongue. That's a good point. The Texans have released Zach Cuttingham. Like, it shouldn't hit you as a big surprise, right? He didn't play on Sunday. Second time he's been disciplined this season. But you look at the news that comes out, the Berman bomb, because the Berman was the first one that I saw on it. Zach Cuttingham has been waived by the Houston Texans.
Well, it's just another example of making an example when you shouldn't be making negative examples because your team is so poor. But that's what they continue to do. And obviously, as you and I talked about yesterday, Zach was making a statement, kind of trying to follow the lead of others that have found their way out, as if to say, I'm done here, and if you're not going to move me or do something about it, though I'm grossly overpaid, I will continue to be a problem child until I am the latest version of former Texan looking for work, and he probably won't be looking for work for long.
No, probably not, especially with the restructuring of the contract. It makes it a very claimable player on waivers, and that's going to be, you know, one angle to look at this. I wonder who claims Zach Cuttingham. This is a failure. Like, any way that you break it down, whether you want to put the failure on Zach Cuttingham for, you know, being somebody who wasn't a professional this season and buying in, missed a COVID test before the game on Sunday. That was the reason that he was suspended for the game and didn't play. Like, you got to be a pro to a certain degree. So Zach Cuttingham deserves some fault in all of this as well. You can look at the Zach Cuttingham contract that he received, and it's like, oh boy, you haven't played up to the contract that you got. But the way I view it is that this is a failure on Nick Caserio's, on his desk. This is the blood is on Caserio's hands here. And you might be saying, well, what are you talking about?
I'm going to say that right now, Jeremy. What are you talking about?
Bill O'Brien's the one that gave him $58 million over 4 years, and maybe Jack Easterby was part of the negotiations, which is another angle we will take it. But what is the job of a general manager in the NFL? It's to project what a player is going to look like. If you want to take it a step further, it is to project what a player is going to look like in your scheme. The Houston Texans, when they made a coaching change, they went from a 3-4 last year to Lovie Smith 4-3, cover 2, whatever you want to call it. But you knew Zach Cuttingham was not going to be the same player that he had been in the past. He led the NFL in tackles last year. And I know sometimes that can be an empty stat, but tackles matter more than nothing. I mean, they're not, you know, insignificant. They still matter some, right? You still have to have a guy bringing down the ball carrier to end the play defensively. And we saw signs of this early that the Houston Texans didn't think that Zach Cuttingham was a great fit in this. We saw it in the preseason. Why is Zach Cuttingham playing outside linebacker when he's been an inside linebacker his whole career in a 3-4? Why is Zach Cuttingham no longer have the green dot on the back of his helmet after he did last year when he led the NFL in tackles? So if the general manager's job is to project what a player is going to be, and we saw early signs that Zach Cuttingham was not going to be a scheme fit in a 4-3, why wouldn't you maybe think about trading a player who, again, maybe some empty stats and tackles, but they matter more than nothing. Maybe the contract's a little bit inflated, but why not kick the tires on trading a dude who has some value in the NFL before you change his position, basically, which is not a scheme fit with what you have, and then release him 13 weeks later? This is another huge red flag for Nick Caserio for me.
I'm with you on this one. And not that I don't have good discussions with you, whether I'm with you or not on others. I'm with you on this one simply because the signs were there early on before you had to make a public spectacle and devalue a guy that you have overvalued for the last couple of years with a contract. If you had just seen the writing on the wall, whether it be scheme reasons or attitude reasons or otherwise, there was an opportunity for you early in the season to keep that under wraps long enough to find a home for him, or at least try to find a home for him, so you could gauge if there was a market, and if so, what it would get you, as opposed to just basically getting to where we are now and going, we just had to cut bait and we had to walk away. And both parties look really ridiculous in the process. So I'm with you on that. I would see where there is some blame for Nick Caserio. I'm also going to tell you that there's some blame for Deshaun Watson in this, and or Jimmy Harden indirectly, and or Bradley Roby.
Who's Jimmy Harden?
James, Slim Jim. Oh, okay. Slim Jim. Slim Jim. Jimmy Harden.
I didn't pick up on that, even though he's in town. I should
have. Yeah, Slim Jim.
Anything but Slim.
The blame is there because precedent in this city has been set with two teams in which if you're not happy and you voice it, you are accommodated. You aren't left to hang out to dry and just say, hey, then deal with it. You signed a contract and done what management's supposed to do, which is say either own up to the contract or don't get paid and take those consequences. Instead, in both cases with both of our professional sports teams here, they went out of their way to find homes for those players. Even a Bradley Roby, a guy that was also paid well, a guy that came in with pedigree that said he's a champion, he's a winner, he's all these things. But he came in and said, I didn't sign up for this, and started to act like a child. And instead of punishing him, which they tried to do periodically with suspensions and other things, they eventually appeased him too, got him to a winning program, got him out of the system, but got him on his way and put him in a better spot. Harden, Watson. Watson eventually will end up in a better spot, but if not for the off-the-field stuff, it probably would have worked in his favor as well. And I think that that's a dangerous precedent across sports, and we're seeing another example of it.
It is a dangerous precedent across sports. There's no doubt about it. I don't know how you break it, right? Like, if the players have all the power, and again, the players, as much as you hate putting it in these, you know, binary terms, they are commodities, right? Yep. Whether it's a return
assets,
of investment.
Yeah, right,
absolutely. Yeah. Whether it's a return of investment of production on the field, or it's return of investment for what they give you in a trade, what they receive back in a trade. And it's the same thing with Zach Cunningham. Like, everybody's looking at that contract today and saying, what a terrible contract. It's the ghost of Bill O'Brien yet again. $58 million over 4 years. Like, it's not a good contract. Was it slightly overpaid? Absolutely. But Zach Cunningham did also lead the league in tackles last year with that contract. You can't sit here and tell me that Zach Cunningham has not been a productive player in his NFL career. He wasn't productive this year in a 4-3, but he has been productive in the right scheme in a 3-4. Did they overpay him for that? Sure. But it wouldn't be like a top 10 bad contract in the NFL currently.
But don't you also feel, Jeremy, because you're our analytics expert on this show, or the one that really focuses on numbers sometimes, and I've heard a lot of guys make reference to this. If you're making tackles with your front seven in the backfield or at the line of scrimmage, it's one thing. If you're making tackles after they beat the first line of defense, whether it be a running back or receiver, and you're just chasing guys down the field, it's another. Sure, you can rack up tackles and say I had 15, 19 tackles in the game, but how many of them were made in the context of either a tackle for loss or a tackle for short gains where you were supposed to be? That's another management kind of a number statistic that you need to delve deeper into, because look, on the surface, just those numbers alone and the way he led the team in tackles, you go, there's a guy every team in this league should want.
Look, I don't want to overvalue the weight of a tackle, because you're right. You always hear analytic people talk about the interception. Not every interception tells the same story. Not every tackle tells the same story. Some have more significance than others, and it depends on yards. If you're making the tackle in the backfield or at the line of scrimmage, that has way more impact than it has 5-6 yards down the field. I totally understand that. I'm not sitting here saying that Zach Cunningham's an all-pro level player. I'm not saying he's a top 10 linebacker in the NFL. I'm telling you that you have seen in his career that he has been a significant player in the NFL. He's been a solid contributor in the NFL in the past, as recently as last year.
Yes.
Like, you can have empty tackles, sure, but the tackles still need to be made. Like, Zach Cunningham is a solid football player in a 3-4. Was he overpaid for what he gave you in a 3-4? Absolutely. Should have Nick Caserio realized that Zach Cunningham was going to be not even close to the same player in a 4-3? 100% yes. That's what a general manager does. A general manager projects what a player is going to look like in that scheme, and if you think that the player has value in the offseason and then that player is not going to look the same going forward, that's when you trade him.
It's just savvy player personnel decisions that have to be made. You have to be on the cusp of every decision and planning for it before it ever gets close to happening. Whether you have the best player in the league or you have a player that looks like he's performing at a high level, you have to analyze on a year-to-year and even in-season to in-season basis, is this guy starting to slow down? Are there injuries that are a factor? Do I have to think about the fact that I either have to make him a cornerstone for this franchise because of what he's done and continues to do, or is there a chance for me to say, hey, before he loses any more value, can I get more on the return side of things? Because you're not – if look, it would be a much different story if you were a playoff-caliber team with a guy that's excelled at a high level where you feel like he's done for us what we've done for him, but we got to keep moving forward and take our chances because he's been too valuable, as opposed to where they are now, which every single guy on this roster is expendable. And every guy, if you can get as much or more in return, you need to explore.
I think another good angle to look at this, too, is like everybody's going to say, well, it's the ghost of Bill O'Brien. It's a segment we've had on the show, how the ghost of Bill O'Brien still haunting the Houston Texans. Bill O'Brien gave Zach Cunningham that contract. But who else was involved in that decision? Remember we were hearing that Jack Easterby was very much involved in contract negotiations. Maybe he wasn't the one saying, give me that guy. I need him. Maybe it was Bill O'Brien saying, I want Zach Cunningham long term. I want him here for the next four seasons. And then Jack Easterby was the guy at the negotiation table making these contracts. And we've seen a lot of bad contracts under Jack Easterby. So you can't play the previous regime card when the dude that at least had a hand in the contract that you're looking at today is this terrible contract in the NFL when that dude's still around. So don't sit here and say, oh, it's the ghost of Bill O'Brien. It's the previous regime. No, you're still employing the dude that had a heavy influence in the contract that you're bashing right now today.
And here's the thing, Jeremy, on all of that, there are other guys with loyalty factors that factor in that you don't want to mess with. So therefore, whether it was a Bill O'Brien signing or not, you know, look, we're not going to tinker with that one because he means something to the city or he means something to the locker room. Was Zach Cunningham, he's a guy that isn't like a face of your franchise. He's not a guy impactful enough like a J.J. Watt or DeAndre Hopkins or some of the other guys that have come and gone, even with just from a name and reputation standpoint, a Randall Cobb, to where you go, you know what? We probably shouldn't do that. He's a guy that could be expendable, and no one would have said a peep to you about, are you kidding me? You traded Zach Cunningham. Because you know what? You made a savvy business move, whether it be because of system and coaching or locker room or other things, and no one needs to know all that. All you need to know is you made a smart move for this franchise going forward. Feather in your cap regardless of how it turns out.
713-780-ESPN if you want to get in on this. 713-780-3776. A lot of ways to look at the Zach Cunningham release by the Houston Texans today or on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Joel's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. David Culley had some things to say. The release news came out about an hour and a half before David Culley talked to the media. David Culley had a lot to say about the cutting of Zach Cunningham. We'll get into that next. Also a lot to say about the Tyrod Taylor Davis Mills situation.
Did he have no cards?
He probably had no cards. It wouldn't shock me.
I just want to make sure it all kind of ends up, it doesn't end up in the wash, that it all syncs up with what everybody else was saying.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. More on the Zach Cunningham release. And who the heck's playing quarterback on Sunday? Who's hurt? Who's not? That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
The Charlie Polillo Show.
Jalen Green's usually good for one big highlight or two per game, and he's just a kid. He has to learn. His shooting is terrible at this point, but he is excited. There is bona fide hope with Jalen Green so far above and beyond anything with the Texans right now. So while the Rockets are an NBA atrocity for the second year in a row, as measured by the state of the league you're playing in right now, where the Rockets don't get credit now for what they could be 3 years from now. 3 years from now, they might be an emerging power. In 2013, the Astros didn't get credit for what they'd be in 2017. That these Rockets, that this is the nucleus now, right? The electrons and protons and neutrons. I think those are the three, right? They're all just forming and they'll get in their proper position. Same Sports Illustrated puts the Rockets on the cover as the 2026 NBA champions.
Weekday mornings from 10 to noon on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Texans have released Zach Cunningham earlier today. He's in the middle of a four-year, $58 million deal. And, like, whatever the dead money is the remainder of this year. Like, it's $5.5 million dead money this year. This year's almost all over, though. But you look at 2022, $12.8 million in dead money. They'll save about a little under $2 million for the salary cap next season. Total cash earned from the Texans for Zach Cunningham, $23.8 million. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. David Culley had some thoughts earlier today about Zach Cunningham and the release of Zach Cunningham as Nick Caserio leaked the news right before David Culley had to go to the podium. Here is Culley on the release of his linebacker.
We got standards, and I didn't feel like that those standards had been met consistently. And I felt like I made a decision that was best for our team. This is about the team. It's not about any individuals.
You think Culley's making the decision, or you think it's Caserio?
That's exactly what I was going to key in on. Like, Dave, did you make that call? Did Nick make that call? Who made that call? Because I think that Geppetto was still pulling the strings. I know you want us to believe you made that call. I don't think anybody in their right mind thinks you made it by yourself, no matter what. You didn't go Han Solo on that one. And I think that, if anything, the governing bodies that be above let you know that, hey, you can do this if you want, but this is what we've decided to do to move on from Zach Cunningham.
I was listening to Caserio on with the HoustonTexans.com with Vandy and John Harris, and he does like a weekly thing. He was talking about how he preps for games. Like he's almost part of the staff in terms of game day preparation, which, bizarre for me as a general manager. Like, we know he's in the booth. We know he has a headset on.
Right.
But the fact that he's involved in the preparation on a week-to-week basis for the next opponent, like, I find that to be bizarre from a general manager.
There's a lot of this going on these days, but you would assume it's the guys that have the most power. I heard it with Dallas and Jerry Jones. He does the same thing, but he also requires in the post-game, when the coaches are meeting, that he be a part of it. The meetings not start till he's there so that he can get all of that. It led to him going out on his radio show and covering up for Dak by saying it's his receivers not running the correct routes that's causing all the, which is something that you don't need to spray out there either. But it's interesting that more and more management is trying to be a bigger, we see it with the Rockets every day with what we hear about Rafael Stone with Silas and practice and all the things he's doing. And Daryl started all this when he started picking assistant coaches and sitting in meetings too, where you start thinking, it used to work so well as a well-oiled machine. When management hired the actual acquisition and the roster, you dealt with coaching them up, and then you went and did your jobs on Sundays and whenever the case may be. Now you look at it and go, man, it just seems like everybody in management is trying to make it seamless, and they're involved in everything.
Back to what Culley said in that soundbite, he said we have a set of standards that we have to follow here. Like, I totally understand the release. Like, if we're talking about it in this singular moment as we talk to you at 12:20 on December 8th, I get the idea of releasing Zach Cunningham. I believe that it's probably the right thing to do. Second time that he has not met the standards of this organization, missed a COVID test on Sunday. Like, he's not doing what's being asked of him to do as a professional. Now, if you look back on it, though, and you look how the Texans have handled Zach Cunningham, that's where the failure comes into play. Like, I'm fine having the standards. It's easy to mock standards, though, whenever you're 2-10. It's easy to mock standards when you're releasing a dude who led the NFL in tackles last year, as empty as that could be. It's easy to mock culture and standards whenever the guy that you last cut before, suspended before Zach Cunningham was Justin Reed, and then about 10 days later, Justin Reed's your nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. So it's very easy to mock all of that stuff. Here's another one from David Culley on how hard it was to release somebody as productive as Zach Cunningham.
Listen, we're 2-10. And that kind of production is, you know, if there was more production, you know, it's a different deal, you know. But, I mean, we're not, it has nothing to do with production. It has something to do strictly with not meeting our standards at what we have here. And he didn't meet those.
See, I think that's the perfect way to describe that. Like, you're 2-10.
So he got the note card.
He did get the note card.
See?
Because if you're 10-2, you're probably not releasing one of your top three, top
no
four,
doubt.
Top five linebackers. But whenever you're 2-10, it's an easier pill to swallow, right? Because now you're just setting the example on a bad team. Like, it's the old quote, I think it was with Duke Snyder. We lost 100 games with Duke Snyder, we can lose 100 games without him. You lost 10 games with Zach Cunningham, you can lose just as much without Zach Cunningham.
This is where we go back to this conversation that we had, and I was talking to you about in the last day or so, too, where I said, if you're a good team and you have one of your starters or your better players, you're going to go above and beyond and jump through hoops to make sure you accommodate whatever the misstep was, so that there's the one thing that you don't affect is their ability to play for you and keep that team moving in the right direction. If you're a bad team and you don't even know what direction you're going in, then all bets are off, obviously, because the Texans keep doing these kind of things. And you're absolutely right. If Zach Cunningham was a starting linebacker on a team that was 10-2 and they were performing at a high level and you were heading towards the playoffs, the last thing you could afford to do, and we see this with injuries all the time, but next to an injury, the last thing you want to do is do a self-inflicted wound and go, I'm sitting this guy, then I run the risk of pissing him off, then the rest of the season he might be not be the same player, and we have higher aspirations where I need him around. Here, it's the exact opposite because you're not going anywhere, you don't know direction you're going, and the guy that you're getting rid of is the guy that you can easily say to make yourself look better, we're trying to create a culture here. And if guys don't fit the culture and continue to make missteps, then you aren't going to be a part of the culture going forward. And they look like the tough guys. They look like the guys that dropped the hammer and said, no more. We won't be standing for this. But really, what are you standing for when your team is this bad?
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Eric the Dog Walker texting in saying, I want to give the GM a chance, but I've lost all faith in him. Cal and Jack need to go. Take Nick with them. Cal's not going anywhere. I feel like Jack is not going anywhere if Cal's still the owner of the team. Now, he's more likely to go because he's not the owner of the team. Look, I want to give Nick Caserio a chance, too. I really
do. What about
really
Diamond Dave?
Diamond Dave?
Diamond Dave Culley.
Oh, Diamond Dave? I mean, is he a one-and-done head coach? I mean, I think it's a conversation you have to have. I don't know if we can, want to squeeze it in here over 3 minutes because
We can ponder it and we can come back to it because here's the thing. It's easy to say he should go. It's not easy for Cal to swallow anything other than a burger and fries, let alone his contract for the next 4 years. That's something that has to be pondered if you're the Texans too, because of the fact that you're not raking in, ticket sales and waiting lists and merchandise. Are you willing to eat that contract for 4 years?
Yeah, it's going to be something that you can probably buy it out. I don't know. I mean, there's decisions to be made there, and now you're losing quite a bit of money on Zach Cunningham too, right? You have a lot of dead cap going forward next season. Like, you have $35 million in dead cap next year.
Mm.
It's a bad state of affairs for the Houston Texans. Zach Cunningham released today by the Houston Texans. David Culley had a lot to say on the topic. One other thing that David Culley had to say about Zach Cunningham when he met with the media earlier today.
Well, I got a locker room full of players in there that understand what our standard is, and we preach it all the time. And when guys aren't going to those standards, I mean, they're looking at me cross-eyed when I'm not practicing what I'm preaching. And, the rules got to the point he didn't follow what we needed to get done, and I made the move.
There you go. That's why now the release on Zach Cunningham. He said, look, it's something I have to set the tone in the locker room, which, hey, I mean, you're breaking team rules. I totally understand it, but I think it's also fair to go back and look at it for the full body, whether it's the full body of the contract. Who does the blame fall for giving out an inflated contract? O'Brien, Easterby was around there. And then I'm giving Caserio tons of blame for not having the foresight. You're not going to know how a player is going to behave. You're not going to know how he's adapting to the standards. But to not realize that it was a scheme mismatch with Zach Cunningham, to me, is a huge failure for a general manager who is supposed to be the next coming, right? He's supposed to be the guy that turns this ship around, that leads you back to the playoffs, and you can't have the foresight that Zach Cunningham's not a 4-3 linebacker? That, to me, is a huge failure on Nick Caserio.
Well, I don't disagree. And I think as you look at it from big picture scenario and everything that we've been talking about, when you look at the fact that, look, regardless of whether you have a roster or not, and regardless of whether standards you're trying to set forth or not, a lot of this could have been handled outside of the media. It could have been handled inside the four walls. And look, I go back to Travis Johnson, a friend of both of ours.
Uh-huh.
And Travis Johnson told me the biggest thing that ever derailed his career after being a first-round pick was the fact that he was picked by a team, the Texans, that didn't play the system that ideally fit where he was excelling at Florida State. If the Bengals, who had the pick either prior or right before the Texans, would have taken him, he said he might have had a totally different career because he was the perfect fit because that was the perfect system. So again, I completely agree with you because I think that from a Texans perspective, you got to look at this and go, look, he might have been a really good player for us when Bill O'Brien and the defense was playing a different system. But if we're going to play this way, then we immediately have to put a list together of guys, whether it's doing them a favor or doing us a favor, and saying, look, it's not the right fit, but maybe other teams think he's the right guy. And the value's still high because the numbers speak for themselves the year prior where he was excelling to where you could get something for him.
Again, tackles can be empty. They can, yes. You know, they're overrated, they're overvalued, they still mean more than nothing. You're going to tell me that there's a 3-4 defense out there that wouldn't have given like a third or fourth round pick for the leading tackler in the NFL? Maybe a slightly overrated contract, slightly, you know, inflated contract, maybe. But I still believe he had trade value in the offseason. Now you're cutting him for absolutely nothing. And I don't think Zach Cunningham's done playing bad football. He's going to find a 3-4 system that's going to bring him in.
Done playing bad football or playing football?
No, he's not. He's not done playing bad football. He's going to be picked up by somebody with a 3-4 and put him back in the scheme that he belongs, and he's going to be a solid football player again.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play bad football. I think he has the ability to still resurrect his career. Now, maybe not financially, but he's already been taken care of too much by the Texans. Yeah, but I think that you're right. I think that he's not done playing football by any means, and I think for this year, maybe just to get from a mental perspective, it would be good for him to be in a winning culture to find out what that's really all about, and because he really hasn't experienced it to the levels of maybe one of the teams, because I believe a playoff team is going to pick him up. And I think that once he gets through that, he'll have a better understanding of what he needs to do for his career, whether it be from a franchise organization and culture or whether it be from a system and be smarter and go, if I get to pick the next place that I play, I damn well better pick a system and a place where they play where I can play the best that I can play.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Kevin McHale, Pro Basketball Hall of Famer, former coach of the Houston Rockets. The Rockets play James Harden and the Nets later tonight. Kevin McHale joins us next to break it all down. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Warrior sound! Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Kevin McHale, Pro Basketball Hall of Famer, former Houston Rocket head coach, joining us now on the HR&P guest line. Coach, thanks as always for joining us. Big one tonight in Houston. Rockets have won 6 in a row. James Harden's coming into town. What do these storyline games feel like in the NBA?
Well, you know, it's always big when the guy that kind of led your organization for a lot of years comes back. And, you know, Brooklyn's one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. I think you probably get down to them in Milwaukee as to who's going to, you know, represent the East, maybe. And the Rockets have won 6 in a row, which is fantastic for Coach Silas and the team. So, you know, it's a big game. It'll be interesting to see, you know, just how the Rockets go up against a very good Nets team.
Kev, I got to ask you, because you and I both dealt with the beard for his quote unquote heyday years in Houston for the most part, and now you watch him with the Nets. What are you seeing from him in terms of, is he the same player? Is he doing what's necessary to adjust because of the team he's on? A lot of people criticize his weight, say he's not nearly what he was in Houston, but does he have to be? I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah, I don't think he's trying to be what he was in Houston. I think in Houston, you know, he was really, really trying to carry everything and, you know, just had the ball in his hands all the time. You know, it's different. If Kyrie was playing, I think you'd see even less of James as far as you know, the ball in his hands and he's doing stuff. And as KD, he defers to KD all the time. KD's a tremendous scorer, gets to his spot, rises up and makes shots. So I don't think James has to do as much. I watch him on the offensive end. He's willing to throw the ball ahead a little bit more than he was in the past. And I think he's doing some smaller little things that don't really, a lot of times people don't even recognize it, but it really helps the team. If you just throw the ball ahead and let your teammates play 3-on-2, that's big. Don't overpound the ball. Just pass it. The double team comes or you drive, you attract another guy. Just make the early pass. He held the ball a lot, I thought. When I was coaching him in Houston and when D'Antoni was coaching him too, I just thought, you know, he was trying to make every play. He's allowing people to make plays. I think he's probably more comfortable in his role in Brooklyn, especially when Kyrie Irving comes back. You got three of the top 10 players in the league playing on one team, you don't have to do that much.
Kevin McHale joining us on the HR&P guest line. When you look at the Nets, and you mentioned a lot of it, Durant, Harden, the pieces they have around those guys as well. I mean, pretty serious NBA contender. Do you think they're the team to beat in the East whenever you compare it to Milwaukee and some of the good teams out there on the East?
Yeah, you know, the one thing that, you know, they play small a lot, too. You know, they'll go small, and I just don't, you know, that's why Joel Embiid, if Philly can kind of ever get their act together. And Philly, it's just hard because he makes you go big. He just, you know, he's going to punish smaller guys. And so there's always that funky matchup. If you play a big, dominant guy like Joel Embiid can be, if he's healthy in the playoffs, it throws a monkey wrench into both Milwaukee and Brooklyn, because they both like to play smaller at times. So I do look at those teams. Again, if you ask me right now, the teams would definitely be, you know, Brooklyn and Milwaukee for the two teams coming out of the East. And again, there's so many things that are up in the air. I mean, you know, as of right now, Kyrie hasn't played a minute for that team. And I don't know what happens. No one can tell the future what happens with all this stuff. Kyrie can come back. But it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, the game tonight and just seeing how the Rockets play, because they've been on a roll. I mean, you know, I think when you lose as much as they did early and you can win six in a row, man, that really says something. I like the fact that the coaching staff was able to get those guys kind of rallied up and start winning. Because once you know, I think, what, they won the 14? Is that what they were? I can't remember.
Yeah, they lost 15 in a row to start the season and then won six straight.
Yeah, they were one in a lot. So they started winning now. That's huge. I think so it should be a fun game.
All right, Kev, let's put the GM hat back on for a second. Let's take the golf visor off, and I know you're not a big hat guy. But let's put the GM hat on, and let's talk about Christian Wood. I went out the other night and said, look, his stock continues to rise after a slow start. This is the time you trade Christian Wood. One, because I said he says he wants to be a max player on his next contract, and if he's a max player on your team, you're not a very good team. And two, he has value. Across the league, Christian Wood, the way he plays and what he does, would have more value to a team that's contending now than hanging on to him until you become a contender then. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure he's a max player. Again, there's a max player on almost every team. And some of them don't need to be max players. I'm not sure that Christian Wood cannot be your top player on your team. I mean, he can't be your best player. He's a good, solid player. He's going to be one of your top three. But I just don't think he can be your main guy. Maybe even a second guy. He's probably a third or fourth, you know, guy on a championship caliber team. But he does have value. I mean, you know, that being said, now the kid can't play. I just think he makes shots. He can spread the floor. Got length. He can block shots. He does a lot of stuff. And I think that if they could move him, I think it would be great. I think you get some assets. I think you're looking at the young team. You know, where's Green going to go in this whole thing? And they're probably looking at another. You know, this rebuild's going to have a little more time on it, maybe, than people want. But yeah, I don't think they're planning on winning big over the next year or two. And so you get assets for Wood, and you can improve your team. And also, like you said, I just if you hold on to them, boy, you run the risk of overpaying them, and that happens all the time. And then all of a sudden, you do get two new rookies, and they're both better than he is. That contract hangs around for 5 years, so if you're going to trade him, now's not a bad time.
Kevin McHale joining us on the HR&P guest line. Kevin, I'm not sure how much college basketball that you watch, but I know you spent some years with Kelvin Sampson on your bench. Houston, the 14th-ranked team in the country. They head to Tuscaloosa on Saturday to take on 9th-ranked Alabama. What have you thought of the job that Kelvin Sampson has done at Houston, getting him to the Final Four, a perennial top 25 team? Just what do you think of the job he's done with the U of H?
Well, I thought he's done a great job. He kind of brought U of H basketball back. I thought, you know, that Kelvin went there. And Kelvin likes a definite style of player. He's going to get tough, hard-nosed kids. They're going to play hard. They're going to battle. They're going to go out there. They're going to defend. He loves offensive rebounding. You know, his teams are going to definitely, you know, his teams in Oklahoma, everywhere he's been, his teams have really kind of just been his type guys. And he's done a great job there with them. And I can't say enough that, you know, positively that the whole thing has turned around. And it's fun. And I think, you know, when I was in Houston, I realized something very quickly just from watching the college scene. If you can get the top players in Houston to stay there, wow, you're going to have a hell of a team. Because Houston does produce a lot of players. And Kelvin is getting, you know, his take. I think, like, again, as I said, Kelvin's going to be, you know, Kelvin's not going to try to get too many guys that aren't going to be grinders and tough guys and hard workers and his type of player. But you give him a team like that, and he's going to battle you. So, I really like what he's doing. I love the way his team gets on the floor. They only dive on balls. They just play with an edge, which you know, puts them in level. A lot of the college teams just don't play with the edge that Kelvin's teams do play with.
I remember you and I sitting in your office saying when we had heard Worrell and everybody else was coming after him, if he can just recruit Houston and doesn't have to get the top three kids, if he gets, you know, three of the top 20, he's a tournament team, and he's done that. He's done a phenomenal job, and it's crazy that, you know, he went from your staff and has done what he's done at U of H.
Yeah, I agree. Like you said, yeah, you made a good point. He doesn't need to get the top three guys. He just needs to get, you know, three of the top 15.
Yep.
And, you know, and you do that year after year, and then that's the nice thing is when you have a program at U of H where you can just take local kids, it brings everybody in. I think it gets the city excited. I just think that everybody goes, oh, you know, they've seen them play high school ball. There's a connection there. So I think it's all positive, and it's, you know, it's going to be fun. Like I say, I really do like the way his teams play. He's got some tough kids, and you know, his kids are, they leave a mark. When you play Houston, I'll tell you one thing, you're going to get banged up a little bit.
Well, Jeremy's also the play-by-play guy for the Cougars, truth be told, so he had to ask you that question. I want to ask you about the fact that what we've seen a lot of this in Houston, but, you know, again, with your general manager hat still on, we see these guys that sign these long-term contracts, and Harden was one of them. We've seen several in the city now where you know, guys just get disgruntled, even though they have a contract for multiple years at millions and millions of dollars, but the precedence is starting to be set where if I'm not happy, it's your job to move me, and in most cases, they tell you where they want to go, and you're trying to appease them. We got Ben Simmons out there. We hear that Lillard is now not happy in Portland. We don't know what's going to happen, as you mentioned, with Kyrie, but what are your thoughts on now the fact that no matter what, you're not in a position of strength anymore, even if you got a guy signed under contract for multiple years at a big dollar amount?
Yeah, well, it's gotten crazy. I mean, the players are really running the league. I mean, it's always been a player-driven league. Of course it is. But man, I now, like you say, you know, your franchise, you say, okay, we're going to sign our best player. It's you know, he's on a rookie deal. We sign him to a max deal, and a year into his max deal with you, where he can make the most money, says, I want to be traded. But I only want to be traded to here. And it happens. It's crazy. I mean, it really is the point where the teams have got to take some control back. I think the Philadelphia situation with Simmons. And, you know, the old general manager from Houston being there, Daryl Morey. That's interesting. Like, they appear, now I don't know what's happening on the inside, but they appear to be pretty content to say, well, okay, you'll get paid whatever it is, 15, 20% of your contract. There's X amount they got to pay, and then they can fine them for a bunch. And we'll just wait. We're going to wait to get the deal that we want. Most teams don't do that. Most teams just can't take that. I mean, you guys know you're going through right now with John Wall. Man, most teams can't just take the pressure of not playing one of your top players. And so it has gotten absolutely crazy. And, you know, the thing that gets me is the players get to go where they want to go in this whole thing, too. And so they sign for the maximum amount of money because that's what staying with your team does once you have bird rights. And then they determine where they're going to go the first year into the contract. It's crazy. I literally shake my head like, wow. A little different back when I played.
Kevin, thanks so much for taking a few minutes. Look forward to catching up again soon.
All right, guys. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Kevin McHale, Pro Basketball Hall of Famer, former Houston Rocket head coach, ahead of the Rockets-Nets tonight, which, by the way, some breaking news on that. Kevin Durant and LaMarcus Aldridge are both out for tonight's game in Houston. Second leg of a back-to-back. They're up I-45 last night in Dallas. Durant and Aldridge out for the Nets tonight as the Rockets look for seven in a row. Got some calls and texts in on the Houston Texans, and specifically Cal McNair on the day the Houston Texans release Zach Cunningham. That's next as you listen to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, let me tell you about Fitz Roofing. Look, Corey's not only the owner of the company, he's the vice president of the Houston Roofers Association. You don't get those kind of accolades and that title unless people believe in you and know you're an expert in your field. They are at Fitz Roofing, and they take care of Houstonians and the surrounding areas on a daily basis. The fact is they also bring with them the resume that you want when you are looking for someone to help you, whether it be with a leaky roof, a roof replacement on your home or your business, a commercial job, or maybe just some work around the house, some repairs that need to be done, or a fence in the yard. You go to some place you can trust that has the best warranties in the business, use the best products, and also have the best ratings. That's everything that you get with Fitz Roofing and so much more. Check them out right now, FITZRoofing.com, and see all the ways they can help you. Better yet, here's the deal they got for you. You call them, 832-521-3001, and you tell them what you got going on. They come to you with a free, no-obligation inspection that costs you absolutely nothing. They can tell you exactly how they will help and what they will do to rectify your problems. It's a fantastic deal. It's all for people in Houston. It's all because Fitz loves taking care of you. FitzRoofing.com or FITZRoofing.com or 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Get into the Christmas spirit during our 12 days of giving. On the third day, we'd like to give back to the Center for Pursuit. The center promotes the pursuit of choice, growth, and independence for adults who intellectually and with intellectual and developmental disabilities, autism, or similar condition. We're encouraging you, our wonderful listeners, to head to ESPN975.com/12days to give what you can. Plus, David Gal, CEO of Gal Media, has generously agreed to match donations to each charity up to $500. So head to ESPN975.com/12days to make your donation to Center for Pursuit now. No donation will go unnoticed. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Chris, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener of the show. I listen every day. I actually called in yesterday talking about how Cal McNair and got all that criticism from the fan, and then the fan ultimately ended up getting thrown out. Now I'm starting to channel my inner want to get thrown out fan. I got tickets to this Sunday's game, but just because my kid has always wanted to go to a game. But I'm starting to question if Cal McNair even knows what he's talking about when he tells people we're in rebuild mode, especially with the latest turn of events. Not to mention all the stupid things in the past that he's allowed with Bill O'Brien at the helm. But with the release of Zach Cunningham, you could say you're trying to build a character-driven team all you want. You could try to blow smoke and tell us that we're in a rebuild, but you don't cut players with any significant value for no reason when you could get, even if it's a low round pick in return. That's not a rebuild move, what he did. What he did was stupidity, or what he's allowing to do, because you can blame multiple people. You can put it on Casario. You can put it on Coley. Coley, it's not on him. It's not on Casario. The fans are getting angry at Cal because he's saying all these things that we're trying to get a championship. These aren't going for championship moves. And my question is, how much more do we have to take as loyal fans before we just all fall off entirely? And
appreciate the question, Chris, and thanks for listening to the Killer Bees. A lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
I think the first thing, let's start with the question that he asked us right before he hung up. But how much more do you take as a loyal fan of the Houston Texans? Because I think you should be loyal to your team. If you're going to be a ride-or-die Houston Texan fan, a ride-or-die Astro
even
fan,
now?
A ride-or-die Rocket fan, I feel like it's tough because you feel like you're being lied to by ownership.
That's where I draw the line. I'm loyal to you as long as you're loyal to me. But when you start telling me one thing, doing another, and then your actions don't live up to your words, that's where I forgive everybody. I forgive everybody that wants to jump off. Not to say that they aren't looking for a spot to jump back on. But I don't fault them for jumping off.
I guess that's fair. Like, and maybe it's a little bit more of like a hibernation, right, than as opposed to just they're dead to me. Because, look, I mean, you should be loyal to your team. I firmly believe that, unless you feel like the owner is lying to you. And Chris saying that a little bit, too. I've never heard Cal say that they're in a rebuild. I've heard Caserio, if you read between the lines,
yes,
a little bit.
Yes.
I mean, he talked about it the other day when he was talking to the flagship, right? He said something along the lines of, we knew this was going to be a hard process.
Don't judge us on wins and losses at the start of the year.
Season. Right. So, like, yep. He was even saying it, not even recently. He was saying it at the start of the season. Like, if you listen to Easterby, or not Easterby, Easterby doesn't talk. If you listen to Caserio, Caserio kind of hinted at that. Casario's been honest, I believe, where the roster's at. He'll try to avoid the questions. He'll try not to say a whole lot about specifics, but he's talked about where they are as an organization, and they're not where they want to be, and how this is a rebuild. The last time I heard Cal talk about where this team is in terms of, like, the winning process was whenever he introduced Caserio, and he was talking about how close they were in games last year. They lost a bunch of one-possession games, and if they could flip those three games.
Organization.
Exactly.
All that.
Like, he was selling you the bill of goods that they were close, that they were on the brink and the cusp of being back into the playoffs. And maybe that even speaks to Chris's point about the delusion that Cal has. What Cal needs to do as an owner, and he's, I mean, CEO, owner, whatever you want to call, he's kind of the guy making the decisions over there. He just needs to get out of the way. Like, he needs to hire the right people and then get out of the way. You can be an owner that doesn't have any idea what's going on with your team. Just give them the money, get out of the way, and stop interfering. The problem is that he's empowered Jack Easterby, and it seems like Jack Easterby's been way more harmful to this organization than he's worth, certainly. I still have hope that Nick Caserio will be the guy that turns it around, but then you have moves like today where it's like, man, this is another bad look for Nick Caserio. Like, where I'll disagree with Chris a little bit, as he said that they shouldn't have released Cunningham because you can get some value for him in the offseason. I believe all of the trade value that Zach Cunningham has had is completely gone, and it's gone because of the inflated contract that Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby gave him. And his value's also gone because he's in the wrong scheme. He's in the wrong fit. He's in a 4-3 cover 2 for Lovie Smith, and he was an outstanding linebacker in a 3-4. Terrible in a 4-3. So the blame that I assign there is actually to Caserio for not having the foresight and being able to project what Zach Cunningham, whenever he had value in the offseason, was going to look like in this scheme. And if you're a rebuilding team, you have a veteran, you're probably doing your due diligence. Is this guy going to look the same for us as he did in a 3-4? And Caserio, as a general manager, that's a GM's job. That's what a GM should be doing. He failed on the evaluation of what Zach Cunningham was going to look like under Lovie Smith.
Yeah, and that's fine. And to Chris's other question, look, this is what I was getting at in terms of if you continue to support this team. Look, don't let your kid down. Bring him to the game because your kid... You're putting your, like we talked about, you're putting your fandomonium on hold, but it doesn't mean you can't be back. You won't be back. You don't want him to be a Texans fan someday down the road. But enough is enough. You've been lied to enough. So here's what I would suggest, because this is the kind of thing that has more impact than what we were talking about. We were talking about the picketers out in on Kirby or in the offseason, whether it be, you know, free Deshaun or whatever the things that they were, you know, trying to bring up. This should be a regular occurrence now, but wait till the fourth quarter. I would wait till the fourth quarter of home games, and I would get everybody with signs, and I would have it like the parade of homes. I would have people just in line going one by one in front of that suite, letting you know we're not going to take this crap anymore, and we're done with being Mr. Nice Guys and letting you do and make us, force us to believe what you want, what you think we're going to believe of all the crap you're throwing our way while we completely do something different. And make the statement. We've already heard from Ronnie. You're not going to get tossed out. If anything, they'll put you in a different section. But at least this is a way you know he is, whether he hears you or not, you will make an impact on him because he will see it. He may not act on it, but he will see it. And I encourage it because at a certain point, you still are the reason why this team is here. And financially, they are flourishing, even if they're not flourishing as much as years past. Because you support this team. Because it's, quote-unquote, your team, too. And this is the kind of thing where, at a certain point, everybody has a breaking point. That's why I completely support everybody that's willing to, you know, you have a gym membership, and you put it on hold on hiatus. Because you really can't support them right now, whether it be schedule-wise or otherwise. You can go back and reinstate it, get it going at another time. Put the membership to the Texans on hold. And if you are still going to games, bring a sign. Do something that lets you be heard before you leave that building. It's not going to be an arrest. It's not going to be something that you're going to have legal ramifications for. But at least you know maybe you can make a difference that way, because evidently nothing else is resonating within Cal's ears.
Not necessarily a rebellion, right? Like nothing physical, no cuss word, no yelling around kids.
Make your statements and make him know it's not just Ronnie with three signs in 2 years. It's everybody that's sick and tired of this BS.
3364 texting in at 713-780-3776. Cal said they were building a wall brick by brick. Like, I didn't read that as Cal saying that this is a rebuilding process. And maybe I'm wrong there. I just felt like Cal was saying cliches. Like, that's the way that I heard that whenever Cal mentioned that they were building it brick by brick. And Nick Castario is a big part of that.
He may have been reading a teleprompter.
Very much so. I mean, he's been reading things on notepads for every time he gives any sort of public message. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. When we return, Jeremy Fowler, ESPN senior NFL reporter, will join us. We'll ask him about Zach Cunningham and what is the viewpoint of the Texans around the league, across the country. That, when we return, it's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.